And those that are listening on the radio, we welcome you as well and pray that as we look into God's Word together, that our hearts will be blessed and encouraged if we're Christians, and those who might not be saved, that tonight you'll hear something that will cause you to consider where you will spend eternity and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Would you please turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22, beginning to read at verse 1. Second Kings 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azalah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may reckon the amount of the silver which was brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it unto the hand of the doers of the work, who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the doers of the work who are in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of those who do the work, who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered to me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahiam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah the king's servant, saying, Go ye inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Asaiah, went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harris, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they talked with her. And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man who sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, Thus shall you say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, As touching the words which thou hast heard, because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardst what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast torn thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. May the Lord add a blessing to the public reading of his precious word. The story that we've read together tonight, I'm encouraged by what the choir sang, because I had the same experience that Brother Gerald had. When the choir sang, I don't remember whether it was the second or third piece, but the theme of that song was, I have put my hope in your holy word. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. We want to talk about what this passage has called the law of the Lord, and what you and I tonight know as the Bible. But I want to talk about it with the background of this young king, Josiah, that we read about. Josiah came to the throne of Judah in a very sad day. He came when he was 8 years old, and he met there a kingdom that for at least 57 years had done without the law of God and were living as if there was no law at all. Josiah's grandfather, Manasseh, was one of the most wicked men that ever ruled in Judah. For 55 years, he took God's people, according to God's word, from godliness under his father Hezekiah, who was a godly king, to absolute godlessness, to the worship of idols. He placed altars to heathen gods in the temple of the Lord. He sacrificed his sons and daughters to false gods. He practiced witchcraft. And the Bible says about his leadership that under him, this is chapter 21, verse 19, under him, they were seduced to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. When Israel crossed Jordan and went into the promised land, for most of the cities that they were to encounter, they were to kill man, women and children, oxen and all beasts, and burn the cities to the ground. Not all, but many. Because of their evil. Because of their wickedness. And yet, the Bible says that this man, Josiah's grandfather, caused the people to sin more grievously than any of the kingdoms around them, which they were told to destroy. Josiah's father, Amon, was not any better. He only reigned 2 years, and the Bible says that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And in those 2 years, and in the 55 years preceding, 57 years of lawlessness, the law of God was lost. They didn't have their Bible anymore. Well, you say, that's not our condition tonight, Brother Roddy. We have Bibles in our homes. Even those who are unsaved have Bible in their homes, and possibly you read your Bible sometimes. But you know, the Word of God can be lost to you even if you have it before you. Thy word have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee is the only place where you can hide God's word and have peace. It won't do you any good on the shelf. It'll only do you good if you take it in and obey it. A little girl was asked by the Sunday school teacher if she knew, the entire class was asked if they knew what was in the Bible. And a little girl jumped up and said, I know. And the teacher said, well, what's in the Bible? Well, she says, my sister's sweetheart's picture's in the Bible. Ma's recipe for vanishing cream's in the Bible. A locket of my hair when I was a baby was in the Bible. And the pawn shop ticket for Pa's watch is in the Bible. And that was the extent of her education as far as what God's word contained. And it's very, very sad. As far as knowing the teachings of God's word, there are many like that today. And these 57 years, when the book of the law was lost, God's people had lost God's book in God's house. I don't know if you could say anything more sad about a nation that had been chosen by God from all the nations of the world, that when Josiah came to the throne, God's people had lost God's law, and it was all the while in God's house. You know, If you look across to the north and northwest of us, there is one of the greatest countries on the face of the earth. The country is leading the world as far as peace is concerned. And in many ways, they are the world's leaders. And yet, you know, from the pulpits of churches in the United States of America, and for that matter, all over the world, you'll have men and women stand behind pulpits tonight, during the day today, and teach things that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God, and remove from the teachings of the Word of God those things that you and I need in order to be saved. The truths of God are sacrificed on the altars of convenience and popularity. Truths like the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus, educated, quote-unquote, Christianity smiles at that today. The inspiration of Scripture. You mean every word? Jonah and the whale? God blowing the water away from the Red Sea? Things like that? You believe that? Dear friends, tonight, if any of God's word is false, you and I have absolutely no hope. Because God has reckoned his word, he says, above his name. The bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus is scoffed at. And today, the church has programs and services and rituals. But what the church needs today is what it has always needed, the Word of God. You see, in it, God has the recipe for your life and mine. Even if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, the recipe for your life is written in God's Word. It is God's love letter to the world. And Josiah, inadvertently, without knowing, sending to have work done on the house of the Lord, caused the high priest to find God's word. I love the story. I love how it unfolds. The priest finds it. He gives it to the scribe. The scribe reads it. He takes it to the king. And he reads it to the king. And then the king responds. How does he respond? In penitent sorrow. Because you see, this book is alive. This book is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. A few years before the war, the Second World War, a humble villager in eastern Poland received a Bible from a coal porter who visited his small town. He read the Bible and was converted and passed it on to others. Through that one Bible, 200 more became believers. And when the coal porter returned in the summer of 1940, the group of people gathered to worship and to listen to him preach. He suggested that instead of the customary testimonies, that they recite verses of Scripture. And some from the crowd said, "Did you say verses or chapters?" "Oh, no," he said. "You mean to tell me that there are people here who can quote a chapter of the Bible?" That was precisely the case. Those villagers had memorized not only the chapters, but whole books of the Bible. 13 knew Matthew and Luke and half of Genesis. One had committed all the Psalms to memory. Together, the 200 knew virtually every word in the Bible, passed around from family to family, and brought to the gathering on Sundays. The old book had become so worn with use that its pages were hardly legible. That's what God's Word can do. The Bible says it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the joints and marrow, the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible is alive and the Bible convicts. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes and he repented and he wept. But you know, it's one thing to hear the word. It's another to be convicted. But it's something else to heed the condemnation that the word of God places upon the heads of those who don't know the Lord Jesus. But you know, the king was struck. We don't know where he got his godliness from. His great grandfather was a man of God, but it's very likely he didn't even know him. His grandfather was, as I've mentioned, the wickedest of the kings, and his father was no better. But this man decided at the age of 8, if you read those first few verses again, he decided at 8 years of age he was going to follow the Lord. And so when the word of God was read to him, he said, "The wrath of God is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of the book to do all that is written there concerning us." Listen to what he said. God's wrath is going to be brought down on us. Sinner friend, that is the message that I need to tell you tonight. That you are welcoming and encouraging the wrath of God upon you. Because that's what the Bible says. Because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, because you have not listened to what God's word has had to say, to do all which is written therein concerning us. You won't find your name in the Bible. Well, you may find your name in the Bible. A lot of people are named after Bible characters. But every time you see the word whosoever in the New Testament, it means you. For whosoever will may come and take of the water of life freely. God's word is absolutely true. Every thought, every word that's in it is absolutely true. In Israel, in the town of Haifa, there was a policeman who had read God's word, probably the Old Testament. He had been trying for years to catch a band of smugglers. They came in across the border with ass-drawn caravans, donkeys in the lead. They did what they wanted to do and took off, and nobody could find them. But he got a tip one day that they were going to come across in a certain place at a certain time, and he was there. Unfortunately for him, the only thing he caught was the asses. All the people got away. But remember, I said he knew God's word. So he carried the asses home and locked them up. And after several days of not giving them anything to eat, he set them free and followed them. The Bible says, the oxen knoweth her own, and the ass its master's crib. And because of that, the asses led the policeman directly to the hideout of the smugglers, and they were captured. Why were they captured? Because God's word is true. And we need to agree, you and I, with God's assessment of our condition before him. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you believe that if you're here tonight in the meeting and if you're listening by means of radio? Do you believe that you are without hope and without God in the world? Do you believe what the Bible says about your condition? You see, the Bible reveals how God feels about you. Not what you think about yourself or what I think about myself. A Christian missionary gave the leader of a tribe, a heathen tribe, a mirror. And he was not a very good-looking man. He took the mirror and for the first time, placing it before his face, saw himself. And he took the mirror and dashed it to the ground. And in anger, stalked away from the missionary. He didn't like what he saw. He disagreed in his heart with what the mirror revealed him to be. A Boston aristocratic lady asked for a famous painter to paint her portrait. He did. And being a good artist, he took in everything. He took in places of beauty and spots that were not so beautiful. And when she saw it, she took it from his hand and tore it in half and told him that that did not perfectly reflect what she was like. That's the way we are with God's word. You see, God's word condemned the idolatry of this country of Judah, the country into which Josiah's family had led the people into idolatry. And it had showed Josiah what the penalty was, how that God was going to condemn them. And of course, we say that we don't do that here in Spanish Wells or here in the Bahamas. But you know, I'm here to tell you tonight that you don't have to bow down to a wooden idol to be an idolater. All you have to do is have something that you love more than you love the Lord Jesus. All you have to do is have something in your life that's keeping you away from committing and surrendering yourself to Him. You don't have to shoot a man to be a murderer. The Bible says that if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. You don't have to hold the Guinness World Book of Records for lying to be a liar. Every lie that is spoken is big enough and black enough to break the commandment. James says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, never lie, never cheat, never do anything wrong but once," he says, "and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." How do you stand up? How do you size up yourself to that tonight, if you're here or listening without the Lord Jesus? Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that there's really only one thing between you and the Lord, and that's your sin. And that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for. So really, the only thing between you and God is your will. You know, Jesus said to the Jews of his day, "Oh, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathereth her brood under her wing, and you would not." You see, not only does God's word convict and condemn, God's word is indestructible. Peter says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever." Ingersoll, an agnostic, said, "Holding the Bible in his hands, in 15 years, I will have cleaned the world of this book." 15 years later, Ingersoll was in the morgue, and the Bible still stood. Voltaire said, "In 100 years, this book, you'll not be able to find it except you visit a museum somewhere." In 100 years' time, Voltaire also was dead, and his home was the home of the Geneva Bible Society, where they printed and distributed the Word of God. You can't destroy the Bible. Men have treated it with contempt. Men have tried to get rid of it for years. But you know, if you believe all of this tonight, and you still are not saved, you're caught in one of the devil's most clever traps. He doesn't try to get you not to believe the Bible. He just wants you to put it off a little longer. Don't do it today. But that's not what Josiah the king did. The word of God was read to him, and he immediately sent his servants to Huldah the prophetess to say, "What shall we do?" And so she said, after she had repeated the condemnation of God's word to those who were committed idolatry and witchcraft, she said, "But I have a message for the king." Listen tonight, if you're without the Lord Jesus. After she had issued the condemnation, she says, "Tell the one who sent you to me that this is God's word to him, because thy heart was tender and receptive, because thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, and because thou hast torn thy clothes and wept before me in repentance and sorrow, thou shalt die in peace." Now that's very strange, because if you go over to the next chapter, I think it's chapter 23 and verse 19, this man died in battle. He was killed by the enemy. What did God mean, "thou shalt die in peace"? It means that God was talking about spiritual things, not earthly things. You see, we all know that one day our bodies die. Everybody in this room has been touched. Everybody listening by radio has been touched by death. We know that people die. But there's something strange and unknown about people who have died and you've heard nothing from them. I have to confess to you, it's still by experience an unknown thing. Nobody can walk through that door today and say, I have died, and I want to tell you what it's like. But the Bible tells us what it's like. The devil would have you believe a lie, and there's another one that he's propagating all over the world. It goes like this. There is a holy and righteous and loving God. And a God who is love will not send anybody to hell. It continues, each of us has some good in us, and this loving God will, with his Father's heart, not allow anybody to go to hell, but will accept you into his heaven. And that's one of the biggest lies he has ever told, and yet I believe tonight, as I stand before you, that there are millions of people who believe one day they will stand before God and check off a list before him of the things that they have done. And he will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. Because you see, God has a standard. Do you know that if you live up to God's standard, you can go to heaven, even though you don't accept his son? Now don't throw me out. Let me repeat that. If you can live up to God's standard, he will let you into his heaven. His standard is the righteousness of his son. And what you'll have to do is have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus in God's scales in this side and yours on this side. And yours will have to outweigh his. But you and I know that that will never happen. The Bible says we fall short. The Bible says we miss the mark. The Bible says we have no hope. But he also says, he that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Josiah heard the word, probably the first time he had ever heard it. He sent for God's servant, found out what he must do, followed God's word, and today, without fear of contradiction, I say to you, we'll see, as Christians, we'll see Josiah in heaven. What about you? What about you? Will we see you in heaven? Well, you say, I want to go to heaven. I had a friend in Abaco for years who was older than me. And I asked him over and over again, Mr. Cash, would you like to be saved? Do you think I'm crazy, Mr. Pinder? He would say, of course I want to be saved. When are you going to be saved? Well, not right now. Not right now. You know, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You don't have any guarantee. No, you don't have any guarantee of 5 minutes from now, much less tomorrow. One day, if you continue rejecting the Lord Jesus, you'll hear the gospel for the very last time. You will put your foot over the threshold of time into eternity. And I want to tell you tonight, you won't be able to draw it back. When your foot lands in eternal flame, I don't know what you'll do, but you'll want to come back, and it'll be too late. There'll be nothing you can do. And yet tonight, the message of salvation and then the invitation of the Lord Jesus is open. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Do you thirst tonight? Are you totally satisfied in your sin? Let him come and take of the water of life freely. So what do you do? Well, you agree with God. Do you believe that what the Bible says is true about you and your sin? You agree with God that you're a sinner. You also agree that Jesus died to save you. You know, the Lord of heaven would have to apologize to his son if Calvary wasn't necessary. If it was possible for one person to get to heaven without going by the way of the cross, then God the Father would have to say, I'm sorry to his son because he's punished him for your sin and mine. But he'll never have to say that because you'll never get there until you agree that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for you and that he means it when he says, he that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That isn't hard to do. Oh, you may say it is, you know. I'll have to forsake my sin. Yes. I'll have to repent of my sin and be sorry for my sin. Aren't you prepared to do that tonight? Is there something in this life that is more valuable to you than your soul, which will go on forever and forever and forever in eternal punishment without the Lord Jesus? I invite you to come to him tonight. If you're listening on the radio, just bow your head and tell the Lord Jesus that you're sorry for your sin and ask him to come into your heart and save you. You ask, is it that simple? It is absolutely that simple. And if you're here tonight in the meeting without the Lord Jesus, all you have to do is the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's as true tonight as it was when it was told the Philippian jailer. Won't you come to him tonight and be saved? We're going to pray. And when the prayer is finished, the meeting will be over. But I'd like to let you know that there are a lot of people here who would be glad to help point you to the Lord Jesus. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege tonight of being in this meeting. We know that there are souls in hell. And apparently our God, according to the parable of the story of the rich man, they're able to see what is on the other side. In their torment, they don't want anybody to come there with them. Oh, Father, tonight I pray that you would cause this to sink down into the hearts of those who are listening. Help them to realize, our God, that tonight may be the last time that they have the opportunity to be saved. Help them, Lord, to see their sin and need and trust you as their own personal Savior, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus and for thy glory, amen. Good night and may the Lord bless you.